People of God, we look together in the word of our Lord in 1 John. 1 John, we'll look at chapter 2, but really our text is one particular verse, and that is verse 4. We'll read verses 1 through 17 of 1 John chapter 2. People of God, hear the word of our Lord. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment by which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. People of God, that reading of God's word. We look together at the truth of proclaiming, I know him, in the context of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 41 in the back of the Psalter hymnal, question and answer 8182, Lord's Day 30. We come to the end of the section on the sacraments, even as we continue in the section of gratitude, but we come to the end of the section on the sacraments, and it is a transition into the kingdom of God and into the catechism teaching on Christian discipline. But here we read these words, who are to come to the Lord's table? Those who are displeased with themselves because of their sins, but who nevertheless trust that their sins are pardoned and that their continuing weakness is covered by the suffering and death of Christ, and who also desire more and more to strengthen their faith and to lead a better life. Hypocrites and those who are unrepentant, however, eat and drink judgment on themselves. Are those to be admitted to the Lord's Supper who show by what they say and do that they are unbelieving and ungodly? No, that would dishonor God's covenant and bring down God's anger upon the entire congregation. Therefore, according to the instruction of Christ and his apostles, the Christian church is duty-bound to exclude such people by the official use of the keys of the kingdom until they reform their lives. Well, people of God, question and answer 81 in the Catechism is asking the question of who is to come to the Lord's Supper. And in the answer are the three main questions that are part of the profession of faith testimony given in this church when someone professes their faith. There is a direct connection, certainly a correlation, between Lord's Day, or question and answer 81, and our questions for profession of faith. This is no minor matter, and we believe that is a confessional point, confessional integrity. In other words, we hold this together as the church and the people of God in this church and throughout the URC. However, this perspective is certainly challenged in our present day in a number of ways. Within the United Reformed Churches some 10 years ago, 5 to 10, I didn't look up the specific date, I don't remember the date of the particular synod, it was in Calgary. In that synod, there was a challenge to the church's practice of not allowing babies to participate in communion. There was a young man who was being examined to be a pastor in the URC who said, "I think children can." And they said, "Well, then how can you say what question and answer 81 says?" And that person was not allowed to be a minister in the URC because of it. That decision was challenged by other pastors within the URC, two others in particular. And they said that we have a false concept. We ought to allow babies who are baptized, who have not professed their faith, to partake of the Lord's Supper. And so this question, who are to come to the Lord's table, was no minor matter. Those two pastors are no longer ministers in the URC. And yet there is an ongoing degrading of the emphasis placed on profession of faith when it comes to participation in the Lord's Supper. And that's simply because the Lord's Supper then gets looked at more and more as something insignificant, or profession of faith is not so important. There was one who argued not too long ago that we ought to allow babies to partake of the Lord's Supper because they're always putting things in their mouths. And anybody who's around a baby knows that. They're always putting something in their mouth. And so this person at a synod declared we ought to let babies partake of the Lord's Supper because that's how they learn about Jesus. They'll put him in their mouth and they'll learn about him that way. That was his theological argument for why you ought to allow babies to partake of the Lord's Supper. And so there are all kinds of ways in which people make those declarations. Babies partaking of the Lord's Supper is called paedo-communion, just like we believe in paedo-baptism. So why is that so inappropriate? Why do we say that as a community of believers, we all agree, because that's what our confession says, that only those who are displeased with themselves and their sins, who know their sins are pardoned in Jesus Christ, and who desire to live a godly life and whose fruit exhibit that godly life, are allowed to come to the table of the Lord, which we call a mature profession. We can argue about the exact age of a person. In fact, at our synod, we had that kind of argument. Well, then how old? And there was never a proclamation that it was 16 or 15 or 20. No, it's when one can say, I know him. But knowing what that means to say, I know him. In our text, it's challenging those who say, I know him, and then don't abide by that third question. They have no desire to live for him, but they say they know him, then they don't really know him. But what is clearly set before us is that both as a community and as an individual, we ought to say, I know him, we know him. We see a transition in our scripture in verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep the commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Well, in these verses, there is a declaration, two declarations. It is a we know him and an I know him, and both are important. It's both important to have a communal expression of we know him and an individual profession of I know him. Some people will be maybe linguistically nitpicky and say I know him is profession, and we know him is confession. And there's something to that. Confession means to fess together. To fess up together. To say together. And profession can both be a confession, but it's also can be more personal. You can have a personal profession. It's almost impossible. In fact, it's contrary to the meaning of the word to say, I have a personal confession that nobody else has. That would be like saying, I have a white car that is black. Because confession means that you are declaring together something. So it's impossible to say, I declare together with others something nobody else believes. It says, we know that we know him. We know that we know him. And there is a common communal expression in verse 3. And that's critical and that's important. And that is good and wholesome. And it ought to be that the person who personally professes Jesus Christ joins with others, and then their voices are blended together. And together they declare, we know him. I know him, but we know him. Such a declaration is within the context of our scripture. It's clear that as one says, we know him, and as one says, I know him, that person can be tested. Because you can't simply say, we know him, or say, I know him, and then act like you don't know anything about Jesus Christ. That you don't follow his commandments. That you ignore his word. It is a situation that happens over and over and over again. People say, I know God, I know Christ. And they ignore what Christ says. And ultimately, who Christ is. And so, it is abundantly apparent that one ought to be tested as a child. And we can maybe even see some of that, that there's an understanding that certainly there are different levels of maturity in the Christian life expressed in verses 12 through 14. Little children, fathers, young men, and there's different levels. And if one looks at the what's patterned according to the ages, it seems to be follow along in a normal course of a person's growth and development and maturity in God and in Christ and coming to know Him more and more. And so you wouldn't be able to say about a little child like you could say of a young man who's rooted and grounded in the Word, "Oh, little children are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one." We might not be able to say that about a five-year-old. But we could, as a five-year-old, know that our sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ. But the experience of battling the devil in a variety of cultural and church and situations with friends probably hasn't arisen in their lives. And so it's one thing to say, "I know him," but that too needs to be tested. It needs to be tested. The Catechism will focus on that testing very clearly by saying if there's this huge inconsistency between one's life and one's declaration, "I know him," then that person would come under discipline, or that person would not be allowed to make profession of faith. Either excluded or not included. Either way, and the keys of the kingdom are in operation in both of those. The importance of that is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it specifically is addressed. And the allusion to the text in the catechism is seen. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Well, what's an unworthy manner? To say, "I know him," and then disobey him. Now, disobedience there isn't that you never sin, but it's a walking in disobedience. And we've mentioned and we see that pattern in God's Word many times. It's not talking about, "I never sin." It's not saying, "By this we know that we know him is we never sin." That's clearly not the case. And we'll see that in a moment. "However, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." In other words, we judge. We make a judgment. We discern. We can say, "You are not walking with the Lord." And when one professes their faith, they profess their faith in Him, in Jesus Christ. And to know Him in the fullness of His revelation, not exhaustively, no one knows Jesus Christ exhaustively, fully in that sense, but we know Him as Savior, as life-giver, and as Lord. We know Him as Savior. That's what it says when you say, "I know Him." Well, in 1 John, that saving work of Jesus Christ is clearly set before us. Verse 7 of chapter 1, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light and have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We know Him. We know Him as the one whose blood who cleanses us from all sin. Even as little children know your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. We know Jesus Christ as Savior, which implies that we know that we are sinners. And so the catechism and the profession of faith form will emphasize, do you know that you are a sinner? Yes, I know that I am a sinner. Do you know that your sins have been forgiven for the sake of Jesus and because of the work of Jesus Christ, because he is Savior. You know him as that one who is Savior. And to know him as Savior then implies that you know who Jesus is and what he has done, that he is true God and true man. Well, that implies that you have some understanding of the nature of Jesus Christ. That how can you be true God and true man? Well, your humanity doesn't become your divinity, and you have an understanding of that. Because you know him. You don't just know a little bit about him. You know him. You know that he is Savior. You know that he is true God. But at the same time, you know that he's the Creator. We saw that in the book of Colossians as we're working through that. It talks about Jesus being the firstborn of creation. It talks about him being the firstborn of the dead, the head of creation, the head of the church. He is the one through whom comes all created things. And then you say, I know him as Creator. And then you deny him as Creator. In fact, you deny creation itself. Then you don't know him. Jesus is Creator. And if you then say there is no created order, there is no Creator, the world wasn't created, and Jesus is Creator, then you don't really know him very well, do you? But the Word of God says Jesus is Creator, but he's also Savior. But to say you know him has some content to it. It's just saying, I know him. What does that mean? Well, there was this guy who lived about 2,000 years ago, and they called him Jesus, and he was really nice to people. I know him. You don't know him, if that's what you know about him. You really don't know him. I know him. I profess my faith in Jesus Christ, and I desire to know him more and more. I know him, and I desire to know him more and more, to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we look at this declaration of I know him, it also implies I want to grow in him. I am connected to him. I receive my life from him. And that is a lifelong relationship. I know him is in the present, so it's an ongoing. It's not, I know about him, I knew about him, and now I don't have anything to do with him. I know him. It's ongoing. It's abiding in Christ as the life giver, that one from whom I receive strength, and that one through whom I receive knowledge, and I grow in that, and I grow in wisdom. I grow in the understanding of the Word of God and how it applies to my life. I grow in my understanding of particular points of truth in the Bible. I know him, and I desire to know him more and more. I continue to know him, to abide in him. And in that, in 1 John, that comes up in verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. I abide in him, and now I'm walking as Christ would walk, as that one who would be truth and life. Not that I am the way, the truth, and the life, but I walk testifying to the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I walk as he would walk. I receive from him my life and my strength. The word abide here, of course, brings us back to the Gospel of John, which talks about that in John chapter 12. John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, we read about that abiding in that illustration of a tree, of a vine and a branch. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. In other words, if you say, I know him, and you don't walk according to him, then you are no longer a part of, you will be removed or not received into the true church of Jesus Christ. You can't say one thing and do another, because then you don't really abide in him. But when John uses the phrase abide in, as he does even in John 15, then it's that true union with Christ. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Back to 1 John 15. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I know him. I know that he is the only one through whom I can live the life that he has called me to live. I know him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We abide in him. But if we say, I know him, when we have no fruit, that proves that we are like that the parable of the sower and the seed, that we are not in the good ground. John 15, abide in is the good ground. Associated with Jesus, in him, associated with him, is all of the seed that's upon the bad ground, whether it be the stones or the hard path. But to abide in him is to be in that good ground and to be rooted and grounded in him and in his word, which points out the importance of his word. We are coming again to a time in which we have a season of instruction of our children and us as adults. Now, we continue the season of the preaching of the word. That's never out of season. But we have this season of instruction in catechism and in Sunday school, taking opportunities in things like cadets and kingdom seekers, in young people's, and then in opportunities for adults to come together to be sharpened and honed in Sunday school and in Bible studies. And we say, I know him. Do we desire to know him more? Can we sharpen one another in the truth of God's word? Are we involved in these things, both within the church and in our homes? Do we desire to know more and more about him? We expect our children to. In fact, we expect them to know more about Jesus in the church and in the home and in the school. We want all of those things to be instrumental in the lives of our children. And then some may think that when they profess their faith, then they stop knowing him, and how contrary to the very essence of I know him and want to grow in him that is. Profession of faith is not a graduation ceremony where I now get to stop learning about God. So before, I attended church, I attended Sunday school, I went to cadets, and I got to know him. And now that I know him, now I don't do anything to know him more anymore. Of course, that's not how we live. We would live as those who would want to grow in him, to be involved, to deepen our understanding of God and his word, taking opportunity of that in conferences or other matters as well. There's many different ways. One of the central, the central, being the preaching of the word. But that's not the only thing that God calls us to do as his people. He calls us to study the word. And certainly to study that together as brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that this brings us closer to knowing him more fully. Over and over again, we come to know him. We abide in him. We receive our life from him and his word. To know him is to know he is the word giver. Really, from Genesis to Revelation, through his spirit, which works in us. And as we come to know him, and as we come to grow through him, we come to yield to him more and more. And that's the third focus of the catechism, that we are desirous to live for Christ? That's a question. That's one of the key questions in the profession of faith form. Do you look to Jesus Christ as your Lord, and do you desire to follow and serve Him? Yielding to Christ as the Lord, obedience, and we see that theme in 1 John chapter 2. This is a commandment, whether it's a specific commandment like the commandment to love your brother. And you say, oh, I know him and I can't stand my brother. I have nothing to do. I hate my brother. You are a liar and you deceive yourself. I know him. And you say, I can do whatever I want with my body. I can destroy the baby in my womb. I can engage in any kind of sexual activity I want. I know him. But I can do all of these things. You are a liar and you deceive yourself. To know him is to grow in and through him, to be united to him, and it is to live for him. Perfectly? By no means. Because we know that he is our Savior. 1 John says, in fact, in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Of course, we know in knowing him that we sin. But we don't live in sin. We don't live for sin. We don't rejoice in sin. Indeed, the true child of God experiences grief and sorrow over sin. We know him, and we know he's our Savior and our Lord, and we rejoice in his Lordship. We are thankful that he leads us and that he guides us and he directs us. That is a joy to the child of God. When we fail in that leading, it brings us sorrow. But when we follow, even in the joy of seeking forgiveness when we fail, that is obedience. There too we find our peace and comfort in Christ, in obedience to him. We don't walk in darkness, we walk in light. We don't have fellowship with darkness, we have fellowship with the light. And so you cannot participate in a life of ungodliness and the Lord's Supper at the same time. And so we say, I know him. We know him. And in that true profession, knowing that the hymn is Jesus Christ, knowing that the hymn is Savior and Lord, then we experience the joy of salvation. 1 John 1, verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Our joy is only full in knowing the saving, forgiving Christ and the Lord who leads us out of sin. There is our joy. The joy of the Lord. The joy of Christ. And we come together even in the Lord's Supper. We don't come together in a time of funeral and mourning. We come together and we say we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Because that we celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ. We rejoice together. So you know that I see no concept of the Lord's Supper as being a mourning service, a service of mourning and weeping and wailing. No, we come together at the table of the Lord rejoicing in the saving work of our Savior. And that's what our profession is. When we say we know him or I know him, we are declaring, I know I have been saved by grace. And that's a joy. We know forgiveness, as we've already noted in 1 John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know the joy of forgiveness. And we know the joy of assurance. When we say we know Him and we walk with Him and we experience the blessing of forgiveness and the wonders of growing in grace and becoming more Christ-like, when we know that, then we know blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We become assured of our salvation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We know that we know Him when we confess our sin. We know that we know Him when we do not call evil good and good evil. We know that we know Him when we desire to follow Him. We know that we know Him when we experience the joy of faithfulness. It's an assurance. And so we come to having that profession. And so clearly this sets before us, do we as a people of God come together and say, we know Him? We do that in the context of the worship that we do, in the common confession we have. There are those who say a personal profession it can be really long, but a communal profession must be really, really short. We have a very long communal profession. It's called the creeds and the confessions of our church. It's the catechism, the canons of Dort, the Belgian confession. This is a communal confession. These are things we say together as the people of God. This is unusual in the world to find people who would agree on so much. What a joy that is. It is a great joy to agree on so much. We know that we know Him. And we know, and what we know, we have recorded for other people to know. And then we rejoice and we live for Him. 1 John 5, beginning with verse 9, concludes these matters with these words. 1 John 5, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He who believes, who knows? He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, how we rejoice in the grace-given knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank You that we can say, I know Him. We thank You that we can say, we know Him. We pray, O Lord, that if there are those who would struggle with this profession, O Lord, that You would quiet their conscience, that You would bring them to repentance, that You would bring them to acknowledgement and to declare with us, I know Him. We pray, O Lord, that You would so work in those of this congregation who are young and who are becoming young men and women who would be called to make that profession, be called to heed that call to take and eat and remember and believe. And so here too we ask, O God, that You would work in hearts and minds, and that the proclamation and declaration, I know Him, may be true to their hearts and true to their lives. And so, O Lord, we ask for Your powerful work. We thank You, O God, that together we can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, grant us Your continued blessing as we would seek to walk humbly and faithfully before You. Forgive us where we have fallen short. Cleanse us and make us whole. This we pray In Jesus' name, amen.